Local leaders, top stories, the news that matters most to you. The News Drive at 5 with host Patrick Reynolds starts now.
Welcome to the News Drive at 5 here at WSIC News Talk Radio for this Wednesday afternoon, 5:06 p.m. Eastern Time. Good to have all of you with us here in the News Drive at 5. I am Patrick Reynolds. Like I said, thank you for tuning in to Town Talk with Bill Russell that airs every Wednesday right before the News Drive at 5, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. The president of the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce, Bill Russell, hosts a great hour. Really get you in touch with the community, what's going on around Lake Norman, North Charlotte, Iredell County, even as he's the president of the Lake Norman Chamber. Great guest, great conversation. You want to plug into the community, hear all about the Lake Norman Chamber, I encourage you to visit us at 4 p.m. on Wednesdays here on WSIC News Talk. Here in the News Drive at 5, we are working on multiple stories tonight. The top 5 at 5 stories that we are working for you right now. A serious crash took place this morning in Huntersville. Also in Huntersville, a homicide investigation is underway. The Mooresville police have apprehended a fugitive. The Cornelius Newsmakers held their monthly breakfast. And Troutman plans to upgrade the Georgie Street Park. 844 Studio 4, 844-788-3464. Get you on air with WSIC News Talk. Our top story tonight, in Huntersville earlier today, a patient had to be extricated from a vehicle, and multiple injuries are being reported with emergency personnel. Described as a very serious wreck Wednesday morning in Huntersville. Charlotte Medic and Huntersville fire crews responded to calls regarding the incident around 6 a.m. near North Carolina 73 Davidson Concord Road near Molly Road. Huntersville Fire said two patients were transported to area medical centers, one with life-threatening injuries. Roadways were closed for a lengthy period this morning. This is a developing story as the News Drive at 5 has more details. We will keep you up to date. Also in Huntersville, a homicide investigation is underway Wednesday at a local 7-Eleven, this according to the Concord Police Department. The homicide occurred outside the 7-Eleven earlier this morning along Ellenwood Road in Huntersville. However, that location is within the Concord city limits. Concord police stressed there is no threat to the public and said all parties involved have been identified and accounted for. No further information has been released at this time. In Mooresville, a fugitive was apprehended after a police pursuit and a foot chase. Mooresville Police Department's license plate reader reported a hit on a vehicle that had been reported stolen in Denver, Colorado. After arriving in the area, officers located the vehicle and attempted to conduct a traffic stop, but the driver refused to stop and fled westbound on Brawley School Road. In an attempt to apprehend the driver, Mooresville Police Department officials and Iredell County Sheriff's Office deputies successfully deployed stop sticks on Brawley School Road in the area of Attleboro Place and the Point Drive. The vehicle pursuit ended when the suspect vehicle became disabled in the area of Old Post Road and Moores End Loop. The suspect then fled on foot into the neighborhood, but was tracked by a Mooresville Police Department canine team. With the assistance of residents and multiple law enforcement officers in the area, the suspect was taken into custody without further incident. Gerald Pendergrass, who was wanted in Florida and Georgia, was charged with felony possession of a stolen motor vehicle, felony flee and elude arrest with a motor vehicle, felony identity theft, felony breaking and entering, DWI, misdemeanor hit and run, misdemeanor resisting a public officer, no operator's license, and two counts of being a fugitive from justice. Pendergrass received a $150,000 secured bond and was placed in the Iredell County Detention Center. The Mooresville Police Department expressed its appreciation for the assistance provided by the Iredell County Sheriff's Office and North Carolina Highway State Patrol personnel and the residents of the point. In Statesville, three suspects face felony charges stemming from a Statesville Police Department investigation that began with a report of a child being injured and expanded to include sexual offenses involving an adult male and a teenager. The Statesville Police Department opened an investigation back in February after officers responded to a call from Iredell Memorial Hospital personnel reporting a 13-month-old child brought in for medical treatment. The child, who was unresponsive, was transported to Atrium West Forest Baptist Medical Center for treatment. During the investigation, Christopher Torres, age 26, who is the boyfriend of the child's mother, reported finding the child unresponsive after a ride around Statesville with his daughters. This according to a Statesville Police Department press release. However, an investigation by the Violent Crime Unit revealed inconsistencies in Torres' statement. Interviews with the child's mother indicated that she had left the child in Torres' care while she went to work. Torres claimed the child sustained injuries from a fall and being struck by a baby doll, but medical assessments indicated intentional injuries, including two brain bleeds and bruising. Investigators determined that Torres' explanation did not align with the severity or nature of the child's injuries. In the following days, investigators working on the case collected additional information. During this process, they learned about a sexual relationship between Torres, who was 21 at the time, and a juvenile who was 15 years old. Investigators obtained warrants charging Torres with 10 counts of statutory rape and sex offenses and contacted the Iredell County Department of Social Services. DSS then secured a court order to assume custody of Torres' three juvenile daughters. On March 5th, Torres was apprehended by the U.S. Marshals Service Carolina's Regional Fugitive Task Force at a family member's residence in Davie County. He was transported to the Iredell County Jail and is held without bond to the seriousness of the offenses. Additional charges for felony child abuse were issued. Torres appeared before a judge on March the 6th and received a $1,250,000 secured bond. On March 7th, DSS staff conducted forensic interviews with Torres' daughters, uncovering crucial details about the incident when the 13-month-old child was injured. The interviews revealed that Burma Pabin from Statesville and Tiffany Roman, also from Statesville, who are the child's grandmother and aunt, respectively, had coached the children to provide false information. Pabin's whereabouts remain unknown. The 13-month-old child has been discharged from Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center, but will require ongoing physical therapy. The Statesville Police Department expressed its gratitude to the U.S. Marshals Service Carolina's Regional Fugitive Task Force, Iredell County DSS, Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center's Child Abuse Team, Iredell County Sheriff's Office, and the Davie County Sheriff's Office for their collaboration and support. The investigation into this matter is currently ongoing. Police said additional charges may be filed. In Mooresville, again, the Mooresville Police Department is implementing a comprehensive new policy to reduce the confrontational nature of some response scenarios as a step toward the ultimate goal of allowing everyone involved to go home safely. The town's board agenda briefing session in March the 1st provided background information on the integrating communications assessment and tactics. We'll have more from this story after the break. This is the News Drive at 5. Patrick Reynolds taking you home. Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 for your Wednesday, March 13th, 2024, 5:18 p.m. East Coast time. Thank you for tuning in to WSIC News Talk. Patrick Reynolds here on your ride home. This is the News Drive at 5, and we've got a little ACC basketball tournament news for you. Earlier today, Wake Forest defeated Notre Dame 72-59. Wake advances to play Pittsburgh in ACC quarterfinals on Thursday. Also, earlier today, Florida State defeated Virginia Tech 86-76 was the final. Florida State will play UNC in the quarterfinals Thursday at noon. And Syracuse plays NC State at 7 p.m. tonight on ESPN2. Clemson will play Boston College tonight at 9:30 p.m. on ESPNU. I know there's a lot of college basketball fans working all day. That is your ACC update. Don't forget, I'm sure there is more coming up tonight with on the scoreboard with Joe Berg at 6 p.m. here on WSIC News Talk. Back to your news drive at 5, local headlines, picking up our story on the Mooresville Police Department about this new program with the Integrating Communications and Assessment Tactics. Now, this is nicknamed ICAT. This is not the transportation company that we talk to regularly here in WSIC, but ICAT, standing for Integrating Communications, Assessment, and Tactics. This program will establish a refined approach and attitude for Mooresville officers designed to help de-escalate potentially combative interactions. Mooresville Police Department told town officials de-escalation always leads to a better result, echoing a statement including in the ICAT-produced video shared at an earlier town meeting. During the presentation, the program was also evaluated for several years as it was phased in at police departments throughout the county. It's a game changer in terms of creating a new philosophy, along with revised procedures for officers to follow in unstable or emotionally charged situations with the potential to become violent. Examples of the type of situations involved are unstable individuals in crisis posing a threat to others through the use of some type of non-firearm weapon, like a type of club or what law enforcement defines as an edged weapon like a knife. Mooresville Police Department explains, quote, "This isn't about situations involving firearms. That's something completely different," end quote. But to help town officials understand the adjustment in philosophy targeted by ICAT, he also provided a blunt summary of traditional law enforcement responses. Most police departments, quote, "They pull out a bat, we pull out a taser, they pull out a knife, we pull out a gun," end quote. That policy was also referenced in the ICAT video, with representatives stating that when situations, especially with those involved edged weapons, those turn lethal, the often asked question is, why did the officer do what they did? And the answer is, that's what they were trained to do. So this is a new mindset with this ICAT program. It emphasizes other response options. The ICAT approach of use to force training, developed by the Police Executive Research Forum with direct input from active law enforcement professionals, focuses on situations involving persons in crisis, unarmed or armed with weapons that are other than firearms. The program, anchored by the critical decision-making model, provides training to help officers assess situations and make safe and effective decisions, while also emphasizing tactical communication, operational preparedness, and perhaps most importantly, a basic change in response philosophy. Police officers are trained to step in and resolve a situation to defuse a threat as quickly as possible. And as the ICAT video referenced, at times that approach by officers, whether by moving closer to a suspect or, as current policy dictates, reaching for their firearm, that can increase the level of intensity and combativeness. By contrast, in the ICAT approach, time, distance, cover, that references the goal to slow down interactions while maintaining a safe space to assess the situation, is were repeatedly cited as response objective. The slowing things down approach is told to be a vital step towards the goal of easing confrontational atmosphere. The ICAT video emphasized de-escalation is the goal. However, also in the ICAT video, the approach involves a fundamental shift from what officers have been taught for effective implementation and require a department-wide, quote, buy-in by all officers. Mooresville Police Department told town officials, quote, "This is not a piece of equipment. This is a philosophical change on how we do things. This teaches us how to back away from circumstances. It's not another tool on the belt to try and then toss out if it doesn't work. This is more of a cultural change." The training puts more emphasis on mental health. There is concern the volume of these types of situations may increase to what is viewed as a growing mental health crisis. The ICAT facility reports that training programs began about 8 years ago, and as of this year, the ICAT concept has been implemented at least in some fashion in more than 120 law enforcement agencies in 30 states from coast to coast, including California, Texas, Alabama, and Massachusetts, and in large urban areas like Chicago, New York City, as well as some smaller towns. In 2021, a plan was adopted to implement ICAT in every municipal police department in New Jersey. The nine communities on the current North Carolina ICAT list include, local to us, Concord, Salisbury, Greensboro, and Asheville. Officers responsible for training others within the Mooresville department went to the ICAT facility in Decatur, Illinois, where training is provided free to law enforcement personnel, and they all came back with positive perspectives. In the coming months, Mooresville Police Department plans to have four other officers participate in ICAT training in Illinois, and those trainers will then be responsible for introducing the comprehensive ICAT approach to the other 100-plus officers in the department. ICAT aspects will also be part of the department's annual training updates, and as the town leaders state, a department detail will share with potential recruits. In Cornelius, there was a room full of business leaders, and they understood that any development project has constraints, time, cost, quality, and scope. Even when the project is a partnership of public and private, even when the project is a whole town. So when developers and a mayor offered answers about the future of downtown Cornelius, the real question was, what is the trade-off going to be? Well, Cornelius Mayor Woody Washam, considered one of the visionaries behind downtown development, joined Ashley Peterson of Prophet Dixon, who are the developers of the Caroline Project, and Mark Miller, who is the founder of Highline Partners, which is developing Mills Market. Those three were panelists at the February Newsmakers Breakfast, and incidentally, the largest crowd ever gathered by that monthly series showed up. Mills Market is a $70 million mixed-use development adjacent to the Kane Center that includes 12,000 square feet of commercial space, 238 residential units, and a parking deck. Caroline is a residential development with 180 luxury active adult units and 110 multifamily residential units adjacent to the site of the planned Old Mecklenburg Brewery. A future phase of the Caroline project may include 62,000 square feet of commercial development. A foremost concern as Cornelius grows is avoiding cookie-cutter development that has overtaken many areas around Lake Norman. Miller said his firm was attracted to downtown Cornelius because of its unique character. Miller said, quote, "That's not something we would want to lessen or diminish. We felt a lot of pressure designing Mills Market because it's probably the last block that's going to be significantly developed," end quote. Even if you wanted to push through a cookie-cutter project, the land use policy provides constraints. Miller further said, quote, "I don't think you can do more than 5 acres of development without providing some kind of ancillary benefits to the town. You've got to be prepared to give something when you come to Cornelius. That's not like any other town that I'm aware of," end quote. Peterson said the town's architectural review board will help ensure a desirable aesthetic, and Prophet Dixon has emphasized the importance of maintaining the tree canopy. In January, the town of Cornelius issued a request for proposals on the development of a downtown master plan to guide development of its 137-acre main thoroughfare along Catawba Avenue and North Carolina 115. The document said that prior development of downtown has occurred piecemeal, but a comprehensive master plan would clearly define how public and private investment should shape the core area. Aesthetics aren't the entire sole concern. Said Mayor Washam, quote, "The roots are tremendously important. Davidson was predominant. They were the pre-town. We were the mill town. Now, I think they look up to us," end quote. Speaking of mills, there are plans to renovate the old Oak Street Mill behind the police station and the Kane Center for the Arts. That's another indication that downtown will continue to transform. Washam said Cornelius should acknowledge and preserve the history of manufacturing and agriculture. He's working on a history museum, as well as the preservation of an old agricultural building. He also recognizes the cultural importance of the Smithville community. And then there's traffic, which you want, but they want traffic, but they don't want congestion. Washam said two road experts at or nearing contract will help open flow at exit 28, as will the completion of exit 27. More importantly, transportation, including public transit connecting to Charlotte, will be part of the comprehensive plan. The News Drive at 5 rolls on for this Wednesday. We've got more of your local headlines. Patrick Reynolds here taking you home. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 here at WSIC News Talk Radio. I am Patrick Reynolds taking you home on this hump day Wednesday, March 13th, 2024, 5:35 p.m. Eastern Time. Back to your News Drive at 5 local headlines this afternoon. Also in Cornelius, the planning boards gave the CERV, which is a proposed 16-court pickleball facility and restaurant on Chartown Drive, a thumbs up at their recent meeting. The positive recommendation comes with a number of conditions, which will be reviewed by the town board as soon as April the 1st. DB Entertainment is seeking to amend the zoning on over 6 acres of vacant property located on Chartown Drive. The plan is to build a 51,000 plus square foot facility with 10 indoor courts and 6 outdoor courts, as well as a restaurant. There will be more than 150 seats for guests in the restaurant, bar, lounge, and cafe areas. The proposal is situated so that noise from the pickleball courts will be at least 400 feet from any nearby residences. In response to questions about noise generated by musical groups, DB fellow owner Jack Salzman stated that, quote, "We do not plan to be a boatyard. When we do have music or entertainment, it will in all probability be indoors," end quote. The specific conditions attached to the planning board recommendation require that outdoor pickleball play be limited to 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Any other use beyond these hours will require special permission by the town. The recommendations also include limits on light pole heights and the need to shield rooftop HVAC and cooking equipment. Salzman, the former co-owner of Lake Norman Chrysler Jeep Dodge, said, quote, "If this is the schedule, we are hopeful to get a permit from Mecklenburg County 45 to 60 days after the April 1st approval from the town of Cornelius," end quote. Pickleball is a rapidly growing sport, and the town is working to accommodate the demand among residents. A separate proposal, which would provide up to 12 new courts at Bailey Road Park, is already in the works. News from Troutman. The town council received a progress update on the Georgie Street Community Park project this week and discussed agenda items for Thursday night's meeting. Parks and Recreation Director Emily Watson gave a presentation about the Pocket Park, which was once a part of the Georgie Street neighborhood's HOA and fell into neglect and disrepair. 17 years of property taxes are also owed on the property. The town was approached by some residents of the area to consider taking over the small park, which was full of rusty playground equipment. The majority of homeowners have signed their portion of ownership over to the town, and town manager Ron Wyatt said the town has enough signatures to get a deed for the property. "The town will have to pay back taxes on the property acquiring the deed," Wyatt said. "The homeowners who have not signed over their interest in the property will be billed for their portion of the taxes and the cost of cleaning and upgrading the park. Any unpaid bills will result in a lien being placed on those homeowners' properties." Watson said the property has been cleared of all old playground equipment and staff are currently battling fire ant and snake issues, as well as getting the grounds groomed and grass reestablished. More news from Troutman. There's a nomination for Citizen of the Year and Organization of the Year. They are due to Town Hall by Friday, March 29th. Forms are available online at troutmannc.gov. A Citizen of the Year nominee must demonstrate a commitment to preserving, maintaining, or improving the quality of life for the Troutman residents. The nominee does not need to live in town, but must be a resident or business representative of the Troutman community. Nominees cannot be employed by the town of Troutman. A nominee for Organization of the Year is for a civic group or business respected for its commitment, support, services, and activities that promote a positive influence in the community. Troutman Town Council members set their annual budget planning retreat for Monday, April 8th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. The April agenda briefing will follow at 4 p.m. The second day of budget discussions is set for Monday, May the 6th, with the times to be announced. The 24-25 Troutman budget must be approved by state statute by June 30th. The budget will be on display at Town Hall or online for a minimum of 10 days prior to approval, which is expected at the June 13th meeting. The council also discussed a request from the Troutman Exchange Club to hold a second annual community flag display event from Armed Services Day through Memorial Day. The town is also considering co-sponsoring the event as it did last year. For the Walk of Heroes display, the club would place flags along the Greenway ahead of time and take them down after the planned Memorial Day ceremony on May 27th. Last year, the club displayed 250 flags to honor the service and sacrifice of military members. Club members have also asked permission to sell the flags at the depot during the display period. Each flag honors a veteran or a fallen military member as part of the Memorial Day remembrance activities. The flag will display the loved one's name. Customers can pick up their flags after the Memorial Day ceremony. Council members ask questions about signage and sandwich boards used during sales, since any signage placed on the Greenway requires a special use sign permit. The council will consider the request at its Thursday meeting, that's tomorrow at 7 p.m. In other Troutman news, the council will also consider approval of an amendment to its remote participation policy for town council members on Thursday night. The amendment will remove a rule forbidding participation of council members during public hearings or voting on zoning issues. Another part of the policy being removed is a provision that states a remote vote of a council member is not allowed if it is the deciding vote and that the motion must be continued to the next meeting when the deciding vote member is present. Remote participation may be used only in limited circumstances. A council member desiring to participate in a meeting remotely must be physically unable to attend the meeting because of personal illness or disability, employment purposes, family or other emergency, out-of-town travel, participation in other scheduled town-related meetings, which makes it impossible to attend the council meeting, or when a state of emergency has been declared for either state, county, or town. The member can use telephone, internet, or satellite-enabled audio or video conference or any other technology that enables the remote participant and all persons present at the meeting location to be clearly audible to one another. The council member cannot participate by email, text messaging, instant messaging, or any similar form of electronic chat. Remote participation is limited to two regular and two other meetings, which includes a special briefing, an agenda briefing, or anything like that. Any member may participate remotely in additional meetings if a supermajority vote of the council votes affirmatively to allow it at a regular meeting of the council. Downtown Mooresville has been chosen as the host community for the 2025 North Carolina Main Street Conference. The three-day conference, held annually in March, is organized by the North Carolina Department of Commerce and its North Carolina Main Street and Rural Planning Center, and is the largest statewide downtown revitalization conference in the country. Our district is flourishing with independent-owned businesses, including more than 40 that are women-owned, said Mooresville Downtown Commission Board Chairman Kim Saragoni. Quote, over the last decade, $58 million have been invested in our now thriving hub, which currently encompasses only 24 acres. To put that in perspective, our downtown generates an average of 100% more in property tax revenue than the typical chain store, all while supporting resident entrepreneurs and keeping jobs local. Executive Director Kim Adkins, who took the initiative to begin active partnership with both the North Carolina and Main Street American programs in 2009, added, "It's a testament to the meticulous hard work that our board of directors, partners, investors, and volunteers have contributed over the years to be able to share our success as a downtown is such an impactful conference." News Drive at 5. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk Radio. Patrick Reynolds taking you home on this Wednesday, March 13th, 2024, 5:48 p.m. Eastern Time. Now back to your local news and headlines. In Statesville, elected officials, administrators, and students gathered inside the Statesville High School library this week to celebrate the school's recognition as an International Baccalaureate Middle Years Program, or IB. Principal Chad Parker described the path to earning the designation as a rigorous process that involved evaluations of the school's curriculum, teachers, facilities, and other criteria. He told the sophomores who attended the celebration that they had to take a leap of faith that the program would happen. Parker said, "As it turns out, we made it happen. Congratulations." Well, to commemorate the achievement, Iredell-Statesville Schools Superintendent Jeff James and Statesville High School IB Coordinator Jill Hartle held up a banner announcing the milestone. Students cheered and clapped. With the addition of the IB program at Statesville High School, ISS now boasts an IB continuum in the northern end of the county with Cloverleaf Elementary, Oakwood IB, and Statesville High School. The IB Middle Years program offers students a learning experience that is collaborative, hands-on, and centered on real-world situations. Students are taught how to learn and to make practical connections between life and studies. Malia Hunter, a 10th grade IB student, said she is glad she chose Statesville's IB program because it gave her a fresh start. She said, quote, "I wanted to try something new and be around more people like me. I don't feel like I'm just a number, and everyone knows me individually as a person and that they care about the learning experience that I have," end quote. Students Sophie Erickson and Leilana Billings served as tour guides during the IB authorization visit and said they appreciate the intellectual challenges IB provides as well as the personal challenges. Billings said, quote, "I have learned a lot of life skills that prepare me for a career. I have participated in community service," end quote. Erickson added, "I've also learned a lot about myself," end quote. Last year, 60 ninth grade students started the IB program as the first cohorts of students. Out of those, 55 remained full-time IB students in the 10th grade. Hartle said, quote, "This school year, we have 78 students that are full IB in the ninth grade. We are growing," end quote. The long-term goal, she explained, is that every student is in the school is in the IB program. Students can take as many IB classes as they want. Also in Statesville, the city extends its sincerest gratitude to all residents and city employees who participated in the recent canned food drive. Throughout February, residents and city employees joined together to donate non-perishable food items to help our neighbors facing food insecurity. These donations played a crucial role in making the drive a success. The donations collected during the canned food drive have been donated to Yellow Folk Ministries, where they will be distributed to individuals and families in need throughout the community. Statesville Mayor Costi Cate said, quote, "We are deeply grateful to our residents and city employees for their generosity during the February canned food drive. Your kindness has made a tangible difference in the lives of others, and I'm proud to be part of such a compassionate community." More from Statesville. The Statesville Chamber of Commerce is going to host the Women's Leadership Symposium March 21st at the Statesville Civic Center. The Chamber's Leading Ladies program aims to foster connections and growth among women from diverse backgrounds. The group's goal is to create a platform where women from all walks of life can come together to connect, collaborate, and empower one another. This year's symposium will feature six influential women speakers, each offering a unique perspective on the significance of empowering women in today's world. Attendees will be able to gain insights, motivation, and practical strategies to navigate and excel in their personal and professional journeys. Some breakout sessions include setting and prioritizing your personal and professional goals, power of a courageous conversation, find your mojo and discover your magic, elevate your brand, a guide to organically grow your business, how to grow within a corporate structure and advance your career. You can secure your spot for this event online at statesvillechamber.org. In Lincolnton, it's been a marathon effort, but Lincoln County Special Olympics athletes now have a bocce ball court to practice on. David Garman, who grew up in Huntersville but now lives in Lincoln County, was at the Lincoln County YMCA one day when he was told by Judy Wooten that the athletes didn't have a place to practice bocce ball. The former practice area was at Betty Ross Park in Lincolnton, but it had washed away in a flood several years ago and was never rebuilt. Garman said, quote, Judy, who is 72 years old, was carrying around PVC pipe in the back of her car, and they'd mow down a place and put those pipes to place so her team could practice. They have to practice a certain number of hours before they can go to Special Olympics. They couldn't find a place to build permanent courts, so I contacted my brother-in-law, Bob Smith, who talked to the principal at Asbury Academy, and we got approval to build them, end quote. 3 weeks later, the bocce ball courts, which are made with concrete and are built to last, were ready. Garman said, quote, we had them all laid out and ready to pour when Judy said we needed wheelchair access. I assumed they needed wheelchair access from one end, but what she meant was they needed wheelchair access around the whole perimeter. I had to take up the forms and move them 5 feet in and regrade, end quote. Garman and his brother Joe have owned and operated Metrolina Landscape for the past 5 decades, so they had the equipment and know-how necessary to do the work, which was what enabled him to do these courts. Special Olympics had some money, which contributed to the project as well. Garman said, quote, I just couldn't live without doing it. You've got athletes that need a good place to practice. These courts will last a lifetime. We do some business with a guy who does artificial turf, and he let me have what we used for a discount because it was slightly blemished. Dellinger Building Supply donated the 2x6s, the concrete was donated, and someone else donated the stone, end quote. The courts are for Special Olympics athletes to practice on, but students at Asbury Academy can use them and can, as well as the community. These athletes don't deserve to be second best, Garman said, quote, with the area schools getting synthetic turf fields that cost millions of dollars, Special Olympics ought to have something equal to them or better. I wanted them to have something nice, end quote. But Garman isn't finished. Now local Special Olympics athletes need a pickleball court to practice on. He said, quote, we don't have a coach yet, but when we found out it'll now be part of Special Olympics, we thought Asbury Academy would be a perfect spot. Trilogy has a huge pickleball community. We want to get them involved in maybe mentoring some kids here at Asbury and teaching them how to play pickleball. Then they can help the Special Olympics athletes. We're going to make it happen, end quote. Trilogy, which is a 55 and over active adult community in Denver, also has a big bocce ball group whom Garman added we'd like to get involved in both Asbury and Special Olympics. He said, quote, we're going to raise money for it. We're going to find the right people to help us. I believe in the community and their willingness to help folks who are less fortunate. There's an old saying that if money can fix it, it ain't a problem. Well, this isn't a problem. We'll figure out how to get the money. We've just got to have the fire and passion to make it happen. As soon as we get through this one, we're going to do something else. Bob Smith is my front man. He likes committees. We work well together. I'm more on the construction side. Being on a committee isn't for me. I want this and that to happen and then move on, end quote. An avid marathoner, Garman stated he has become a highly popular running club in the Lincoln County YMCA 19 years ago. He qualified for and run in many major races, such as the Boston Marathon. He was at the marathon 13 years ago during the terrorist attack. He qualified in 2019 and again in 2023. Due to a bout with COVID, he's afraid he may not be able to qualify again, but he's not too concerned about it. Garmin said, quote, "I'll be 73 on my next birthday, and it's time for me to start to do more for other people. I've always been fortunate to be able to do that, but now you see all these needs. Asbury has tremendous needs, as does the Special Olympics and the community in general. I get to participate. It's a privilege and an honor. I don't even play bocce or pickleball, but I get to get up and go to work every day," end quote. In Davidson, the town's Reed Davidson Committee, in partnership with the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library, is excited to announce details for upcoming events in collaboration with the county's annual Community Reed Initiative. The 2024 theme is Food is a Connector. Themed events are designed for all ages with specific activities for preschool-aged children through young adults. The entire community is invited to participate in any of these fun and food-focused activities. Main Street Books has all of the 2024 Community Read books available for purchase and is offering a 10% discount on all Reed Davidson titles. The Charlotte Mecklenburg Library and the Mint Museum of Art are also hosting events as part of the Community Read. For complete details, including descriptions of all four of this year's Reed Davidson book selections and the most current information, read the Reed Davidson webpage on the Town of Davidson's website. Well, that'll wrap it up for the News Drive at 5 here this afternoon on WSIC News Talk. I am Patrick Reynolds. Don't touch that dial. The Scoreboard with Joe Berg is coming up next. Good night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.